Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today's reading is from Jonah, from chapter 1, verses 4 to 16. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, What have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. There ends the reading.
Well, it feels kind of strange carrying on business as usual in the midst of this crisis. I remember when I was a congregational minister at St. Hilary's in Kew at the time of Black Saturday. And we really didn't know the extent of the devastation by the Sunday, and things have changed a lot since then. But we didn't know what to do. We felt so helpless, and we sort of kept rolling on with what we'd prepared, but it felt a bit empty. So this morning, as we hear from the book of Jonah, I do hope that I'm able to make some of those connections for us, because the church always must be flexible to adapt to what is going on so that we can be the light of the world. This morning, our message from Jonah is entitled "Seeking the Good of the City," and I hope you'll see why in a few minutes or so. Well, I said that it is still the Christmas season, and this I found on Facebook. A friend of mine posted this peace dove that she bought at Coles, which happened to be called the peace pigeon, the Christmas pigeon. Now, perhaps if you've been in church for a while, the story of the dove sent out by Noah that brings back the olive branch, that's become the kind of proverbial olive branch, symbolizes peace to you with a decent amount of content behind it. God's judgment had come upon the earth, and then the dove, same sort of thing as a pigeon, is sent out. And of course, when it brings back the branch, then God's promise of ending the judgment and his mercy triumphing, restoration had been accomplished. The book of Jonah is fascinating as a prophetic book because Jonah means dove. And if you were an ancient reader coming to see this prophet called Jonah, how is he going to, when he has God's mission given to him, fly to bring the message of both judgment and restoration. How will he be used by God to show that God's promises, and in this case, the warning to Nineveh and the hope of restoration, will be fulfilled? But a dove can do many other things than symbolize peace. In the Old Testament, the word dove, other people have done this work, not me, I just read it, means that flight or passivity, so a quiet dove, or beauty, my love, you are as beautiful as a dove, that sort of thing. Your eyes are like a dove. And so here, the content, not so much the peace for this man Jonah, but the flight and the passivity of this dove, ironically start to come to the fore. He's supposed to be a prophet of God, bringing peace, warning and restoration. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Rather than heading about the Lord's mission, this prophet takes flight. The dove is on the wing, away as far as possible from the place Nineveh, where God had called him to go. Now, if you were here last week, you heard Randall's excellent sermon. He spoke about how going to Tarshish was in the exact opposite direction. You could not be more clear that this prophet is looking very much like an anti-prophet at this time. And not just, I mean, a lot of prophets argued with God. They did. Moses, Jeremiah, I mean, Isaiah had to have the coal if you were here on Christmas Eve. Jeremiah's like, no, I can't do it. I'm a child. Moses says, I can't speak. Jonah refuses to engage altogether. Very passive. Says, I hear you and I'm off. The dove flies. And he goes down to Joppa, and Joppa in the ancient world is this kind of place of mythology and mystery. So if you read the classics, a lot of interesting things happened at Joppa. You know, there were rocks that people were tied to and they came from Joppa. Stuff was going on. And so in this place that seems so far away from the people of God, from the temple, from all that his tradition had brought him up to value, in this place of mythology and mystery, he pays a fare for a ship and sails to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, we heard last week, if you were here, that God is calling us for a full yes. But now we're going to get a picture of what happens when we say no. Here is one of the most striking and startling pieces of information that has come to the attention of the Australian population during this bushfire crisis. And it's that fires are generating their own weather. We've heard this before, but this, I think, has been the first time when we've really been struck by the fact that these fires are so out of control that we can't even predict what will happen, knowing the weather patterns around Australia, because they make their own weather. These pyrocumulonimbus clouds coming up from the smoke and changing the pressure and interacting with the water and all of that. Yes, maybe a tiny bit of rain might come, but actually then we get electrical storms and lightning strikes, greater devastation. And as I was thinking about Jonah and this moment where he says no to God, not just giving a partial yes, I thought, sin makes its own weather in our life. The storm that comes upon Jonah now has been sent by God, yes, but it's a symbol of the fact that when we run, when we choose to do things that God never designed us to do, when we live greedy, when we live selfish, when we live deceitfully, storms start to form. Things that we might have predicted about our lives actually don't happen. More and more our life becomes out of control and we create our own stormy weather. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Well, that at every point with our sin. Now, not every storm we face comes from sin. The converse of this is not true, and we'll see evidence of that in a moment. But here, I think that picture of those fires starting to make their own weather and expanding and expanding needs to speak to us. We live in a very comfortable, polite, smoothly running society. And it seems to us that our sin doesn't make all that much difference. A lot of it's very private. We need to know that it will spiral out of control. No sin is neutral. Well, this is obviously particularly a picture here for Jonah. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Well, I said that the dove has these two particular meanings here outside of bringing peace, the flight and the passivity, the inaction. And that's what we're seeing here. He's moved from the flight, and now when he knows that God's caught up with him. You heard Psalm 139 last week, "Where can I flee from your presence?" He can't flee anywhere. But now that he knows that, probably knew it before, he's gone into passive mode. Have you ever done that? Gonna have a little sleep. When things are very, very stressful, crawl under the covers or just go through the channels, scroll the phone. Just go into passive mode. Maybe if I can't get away, I can hide. And so maybe Jonah thinks, "Well, I'm not doing anything against you now, God. I'm just sitting here." But the message is that both our wrong actions and our inaction actually will endanger not only ourselves but others. Here is that example that I was mentioning, that not every storm is of our own doing. These sailors, as much as they were pagan sailors, not Hebrew people, not the people of God, they didn't do this. And now suddenly the storm has come upon them and they're losing their livelihood, having to throw their cargo overboard, and they know that they're in danger of losing their lives. These are experienced sailors. And yet, because of the wrong action and the inaction of a person of God, a storm has come upon them that is endangering their very lives. I worry about myself, that I am in danger of being this sort of Christian, Not that I'm going to do a lot of wrong things, but I'm not going to do an awful lot of right things. The Anglican prayer book, whether you love it or hate it, I love it, has a confession prayer, and it says, for what we have failed to do, as well as what we have done that is wrong. Inaction by Christians, maybe even in this country, in this culture, will be having damaging effects to our world. I don't know the situation very well, but I know in the 1980s when there was a big buy-in to rapture theology, that Christians would be taken up out of any kind of apocalyptic moment on the earth, it meant that the Cold War and nuclear proliferation was enabled to kind of go a bit unchecked, because Christians felt, well, we'll be gone. God's going to take us out of it. And maybe we feel that way. I'm saved. Australia is in a really difficult place in all kinds of ways, but I'm saved. I don't know, that's tough. Our inaction as well as our wrong action, our passivity as well as our flight, can endanger others. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. God's people have always meant to be responsible for others in this world. We are all in the same boat. Jonah and the sailors are literally in the same boat. But the people of God were meant to be a light to the world. And yet, when we come to celebrate the Feast of Epiphany, when we see these three or however many there were, magi coming from the east, it is actually the non-Jewish, non-Christian, the pagan, Gentile people who are really showing what the heart toward God really looks like. Contrast both the sailors and the three kings, the Magi from the east, and Jonah, and maybe me. They see the star. The sailors hear who he worships. And he says, the God who made the sea and the dry land. And they're like, well, we're stuffed. If your God is the God of all this, if this God puts a star in the sky, the sailors and the magi say, and they put us to shame, I will not be passive. And I will not run away. In fact, they follow the star. It is quite mind-blowing when I think about how, you know, the box that I want people to be in to come to Jesus. And these guys, like doing their weird superstitious horoscope, astrology, whatever, and yet their heart says, I will not flee, I will follow. I will not be passive, I will be active, and I will find out what this is about. And I will worship the one that I find. God's people are meant to be the light of the world. Matthew 5, of course, you know, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, experience your good deeds, be touched by your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. But Jeremiah in the Old Testament says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That's why I called this sermon, Seek the Good of the City, because Jonah has actually, in running away from the Lord, not only endangered his own life, but left the others in the same boat as him to die. But in fact, the Lord says, even if this city is not your home, even if this place is full of people who disagree with you, work for its good. If it prospers, you too will prosper. You are all one family on the earth. You're all in the same boat. And if you're the ones who know how to be saved, bring people in. Isaiah 49, it's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And in Isaiah 60, verse 3, and this is a particular verse for Epiphany, nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. As you enter 2020, as I enter 2020, what are we going to do actively? How are we going to actively follow and heed the call of God to show the light of God, to bring people to his grace, to live in that common grace that he has poured out upon the earth? I don't know if anyone's heard of this organization. Has anyone heard of Common Grace? A couple of people who haven't actually been living in Australia for the last little while. So, get all over it, people. This is an Australian group of Christians whose heart is, as Christians and identified as Christians, to work for justice in Australia. So they have four areas. I haven't got them listed on the screen. Hope I can remember them. Indigenous and rights and reconciliation. Family violence, domestic violence. Climate, and asylum seekers. So they have done kind of campaigns for prayer for churches, and we're going to use some of their material, especially around Australia Day. They've done information, protests, petitions, engaging with politics and policies. And to me, look, it's always going to be complex. And we're always going to find, oh, my politics don't really suit with that. Yes, but maybe in humility we're willing to put those things aside and say, if this culture prospers, I prosper. If people see the light of God, salvation will come to the ends of the earth. And we do it because we're centered on Jesus. So, as we finish, let's think about Jesus. This picture of Jonah on the boat, I wonder if it rang any bells for you when he's sleeping in the boat and the sailors say to him, how can you sleep? Don't you care if we drown? Oh, they didn't actually say, don't you care if we drown? But the disciples said that to Jesus when he was in a boat, in a storm, on Lake Galilee, sleeping. Well, what is going on? The storm is calmed in the book of Jonah when he's thrown into the sea. And he expects to die. He sees God as a vengeful God, whom he cannot escape. And now he thinks, well, this is it, and I'd rather just end it. And so they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Jonah is sacrificed, and the sea becomes calm. It was his fault, and they are saved. When Jesus is asleep, is he being passive? Well, no. He is full of trust, actually. And so when the men say, "Wake up, don't you care if we drown?" He doesn't need to be thrown overboard. He is the God who controls the wind and the waves. And so he says, "Be calm, be still." And they are. And the men greatly fear the Lord. And they say, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And yet, the storms of sin in their lives would still rage. And Jesus knew that although he could calm the storm, the wind and the waves at that time for them, true deliverance, true rescue could only come through his sacrifice. That he would throw himself into the storm of sin on their behalf, although he had done nothing wrong, and he would take what they deserved, what Jonah deserved, upon himself, so that all of us who are in the same boat facing those storms of sin could be rescued. Now we're going to see where Jonah's rescue might take him next week. But today I want you to think about Jonah the dove or the pigeon. Think about you, the dove. What action are you going to take? Or will you just have a little sleep? What mission will you go on of peace, of both warning and restoration in 2020? Or will you just fly off? And what sacrifice will you be willing to make so that others know Jesus, the light of the world, and are rescued from the storms of sin? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want to be people who make a difference. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're scared, sometimes we're helpless, sometimes we're anxious, sometimes we're depressed, sometimes we're selfish, sometimes we're greedy. Sometimes we just say no. But you know our hearts, Lord, and your Holy Spirit is moving in them right now. We want to be those agents of warning and restoration. We want to be the light that brings nations and kings to your brightness. We want to be in the same boat as all Australians and work for the good of this place so that people would bring glory to you. We know we're weak, Lord. We know we're still full of corruption. But we ask for your grace, your goodness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Save us from our selfishness, our inaction, our passivity, our flight. And strengthen us for your active mission. Amen.